Hey guys, we're so glad that you're tuning in to the Apex Students podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Apex Students, and we pray that you don't walk away without looking a little bit more like Jesus.
It's a new year, and so bringing in the new year, I'm bringing you a new sermon series called New Year, Same God. Ooh, everybody say ooh. Ooh, new year, same God. Not new phone, who dis? New year, same God. I still have the iPhone 2018 SE, and it's all cracked up. It's scuffed, for real. It's real bad. But it's still functioning. I could still use the Apple Pay function. I was very impressed with my phone. New year, same God. Say amen. You probably don't know. I don't know if you know why you're saying amen yet. That's my job. That's what I'm going to tell you. New year, same God. Before we get into that, do any of you have a favorite snack or drink brand product? Raise your hand. Say it. Your favorite is Mountain Dew too? I'm so proud of you. I'm like building a little army of Mountain Dewianites. My Apextopians are Mountain Dewianites, and I love it. Oh, what was the one that I had a new name I wanted to try on you, and it was really weird. It wasn't Apextopianites. It wasn't Apexianites. Oh, that's going to come back to me in the middle of the sermon, too. Dr. Pepper. What else? What other brands do you like? Root beer? Mug? Specifically mug root beer? Yeah, because that's what I want. I want the diehard fans, like, you know the brand. You know the flavor. Hey, yo. Yeah. Anybody else? It doesn't have to be drinks. It can be anything. It could be a snack. It doesn't even have to be food. It could be shoes. Like, what's your brand? I love Adidas. Let's go. Let's go. Where's Adidas at in the room? Yes. Okay. So, all right. So you guys get this vibe. You have a favorite brand. Now, I'm bringing this to mind for a reason. Now, hush. Okay, here's the reason. Have you ever gotten really scared because your favorite brand says the fateful words, new look, same great taste? Usually it's okay. Usually this is a guarantee that things are going to be all right. But sometimes people try to make changes and rebrand and stay nifty and cutting edge, and they mess with something that didn't need to be fixed, and it's a scary moment. But I am happy to say that Mountain Dew has really only changed one time, and it was when all of America stopped using cane sugar, and I wasn't even alive when they were using cane sugar, so it didn't really affect me. But they did do a throwback, and then they used cane sugar, and that stuff was good. But it wasn't massive, it wasn't major, and Mountain Dew is still Mountain Dew. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because if Mountain Dew didn't exist, neither would your youth pastor, because it's how I run. Yeah, that's stark. No, we trust God. If Mountain Dew didn't exist, he'd find a way. Yeah. Then I'd move to Monster, and then you'd all be in trouble. That would be real bad. But it's good when a brand stays true to itself, even if they have a facelift. I love the generations of Mountain Dew. Who has been to my basement? Let's talk about the basement. Yeah. They're really good vibes if you've been there, and they're really creepy vibes if you haven't, because I'm going to say, if you haven't been to my basement, you got to be there because it's super fun, and then everybody gets cringed out. But if you've been to my basement, it's lit, literally and figuratively. There are lights everywhere. It's awesome. And you've seen my timeline of Mountain Dews, which is just amazing. And I am happy to report that my brand has stayed true. As we're talking about New Year, same God, I will tie in this brand concept. And I wanted to give you this key verse to paint the picture of where we're going. Hebrews 3:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same. Finish it. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. That's what we're talking about with this series. New year, same God. What we're saying is there will be new challenges. There will be new things that we have to face. There will be new opportunities. There will be both trials and there will be triumphs. But whatever occurs, it's going to be the same God, and it's going to be awesome as long as we are trusting in that same God. Moving on from that strangeness, three specific things we need to remember about ways that God is always the same. God's plan, God's promises, and God's power have always been the same, yesterday, today, and forever. They do not change. They are constant, and they are things that we can rely on. Now, we just talked about brands, right? Has anybody ever changed one of your favorite brands? Raise your hand if it's happened, and then you were devastated. Did anybody really like Twinkies? You might be too young for this. Twinkies straight up left. And then they came back, and they weren't the same. And it was very sad. They were always full of chemicals, but they didn't taste like they were full of chemicals until they came back, and it was sad. But has anybody ever ruined your favorite brand by, like, changing the recipe a little? Like, they do a new generation, a new release, and they tweak something, and you're like, this is terrible, and you've ruined my life. Anybody ever been in that pot? It feels bad when people mess with brands that don't need to be messed with. Maybe a hot take, maybe something that you don't agree with. I used to love the style of Vans, okay? I hate Vans now. I think they are the dumbest looking shoes I've ever seen. They're just these big, chonky things. If you're wearing Vans, I apologize. It's just not my thing anymore. I liked the old Vans that, like, were kind of Converse adjacent, but they didn't look like Converse. And I had a pair of Vans that I still have, that I remember wearing in the mud pit when I was somewhere between 12 and 14, and have worn those Vans every year in the mud pit since at youth camp, and I still have them. And I love those Vans, but they look nothing like current Vans, and it makes me really mad because now I have to protect these Vans, which I do by jumping in the mud pit, which is not really protecting them at all. But it stinks when your brand gets messed with and you don't like the brand anymore, right? You had something good going, and it's not the same. You guys know what I'm talking about? That bad feeling when the brand changes and it's not what you like anymore? You guys know what I'm talking about? Well, let's relate a little bit to our faith here. Christians who don't fully trust in his plan, promises, and power are like companies that change your favorite recipe. It has the same name, but it's not as good anymore. When you go about this life calling yourself a Christian but not trusting and relying on the full thing, his plan, his power, his promises for your life, you're like those brands that change the recipe and they're no longer what they ought to be. Feels bad, right? Don't be that guy. When I do pulpit promo on Sundays, I always give a disclaimer. Every Sunday, after I tell them to fill out their Connect card and then go to the round table that we call the hub out in the lobby, what else do I tell them about our church? We are a Wow. You guys aren't just chilling in the lobby all morning? I'm so proud of you, except for the boys in the back. Nah, they come in eventually. I love you too. No. Yeah, we tell them we're a Pentecostal church. And when we do that and we talk about how that means we believe that the God of the Bible is still the God of today, and that the things he did in the Bible, he still does today. So we believe in words of wisdom. We believe in speaking out in tongues. We believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit. When I talk about it on Sunday, we aren't saying our church is better. This isn't Pentecostal versus Catholic that we're saying. What we're saying on a Sunday morning is that we want everything that God has for us, his plan, his promises, and his power. In other words, we are staying true to the brand. We are not diluting it. We're not taking church light. We're taking the Bible and what it says and literally applying it to our lives. Amen? And we have to remind ourselves to live that way in 2024. So I'm going to move real fast now. This is just the intro. Through this series, I'm going to hit those three themes, his plan, his promises, his power. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to hit each of those, and I'm going to bring to you guys some scripture to remind you what his plan is for your life, remind you what his promise is for your life, and remind you the power that is at your disposal. But tonight, I just want to do something special and wrap up this way. Who knows the song, Same God? We love this song. We rock this song. It is an amazing, amazing song to use to connect with God and affirm who he is in our lives. But sometimes, we talk about this often, we fall into the trap of just singing without thinking about what it is that we're saying. Ever say, boo? Boo. We don't want to do that. We want to know what we're saying. We want to know what it's about. And this song happens to vibe so well with this concept that God is the same God as he was in the Bible, and we need to trust his plan, his power, and his promises for our lives. So I'm going to break down this song for you really fast. I'm going to throw, all I ask is you focus super hard, because I'm going to throw a verse, and I'm going to throw a scripture. I'm going to throw a song verse, and I'm going to throw scripture. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to go through this song, and then my hope is that when we do this song after, we're just going to get a little piano to lead us in, and then you guys are going to carry it, mostly our voices, just going through this song with the intent in our hearts of, this is what this song means, and we're going to do a little work at the end of the sermon. You guys good with that? Cool. So let's go through this song. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. What is another word for covenant? Promise. Very good. Very good. Why does he talk about Jacob? Jacob is the third in a very specific line. What line is that? In a generational line. Denise, what are you doing? The students are over here. Goodness gracious, she's so ready. Everybody give a hand to Denise for knowing her Bible. She's such a good AG girl. So ready. What line are we talking about? The generations that Jacob comes from. Abraham. And then who was after Abraham? Isaac. And then it was? Jacob. Very good. Real quick, let's talk about the promise that God made to these men. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Next generation, Genesis 26, 4 through 5. I will cause, now he's talking to Isaac, and look at how closely these promises resemble each other. Abraham's son. Genesis 26, 4 through 5. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Sounds familiar, right? I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions. Moving on to the next son, Jacob. Genesis 35, 11 through 12. At this point, Jacob's name had just become what? God changes his name to Israel. He went from heel grasper to God, not God with us. That would be Jesus. I should have wrote it down, but he changed his identity. Oh, one who wrestles with God. Right. He wrestles through his broken identity and comes to an understanding of who God is in his life. And he then carries forward the promise. Genesis 35, 11 through 12. Then God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will give you the land I once gave Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. What we see in this lineage, we see a promise, a generational promise of kings and blessings that this generation of men, this family of men is going to create first a large nation of men, and that the world will be blessed through them, that there will be kings through this nation. And we start to see the plan through this promise, the plan that God will eventually send us who? Jesus. All men will be blessed through their generations. Who are they talking about? Who will ultimately bring blessing to all mankind? Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. Moving on in the song. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. That's the most scripture I'm throwing at you, by the way. Now we're about to really move, so buckle in. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Exodus 14, 12, 21 through 22. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Not only do we see demonstration of the continuation of the promise of the generational blessing of Abraham's family, because what nation did Abraham's family become? Israel. And who is escaping from Egypt in this scene? Moses and the nation of Israel. So we see the continuation of God's plan and promise. But what else do we see on full display in this verse? God's power. When elevation worship or apex worship, when we're saying, I'm calling on the God of Moses, and I need you to do the same thing. We're saying, we know that you move in power, and we need you to move in power again. Amen? Amen. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now is a start to a continuation of a thought where you start the thought, I need you, and I know you will come through because. Next line, O rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Finish the thought together. I need you, and I know you'll come through, because what keeps me standing firm is your faithfulness, or the fact that I can trust you to come through. Because of all the things you've done and because of all the things you've seen around me, I can trust you to come through. I can trust your plan, your power, and your promises. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. This is a strange one in comparison to the other such huge biblical concepts and scenes. Then we go to Mary and the birth of Jesus, which is very different from the other scenes we've looked at. But what has just finished that we portrayed in all the other steps of this song? The what? Which of the three P's? What is about to be finished by what Mary is starting? Not power. What do you finish? If you have A, then you finish the plan. Who's coming? Jesus. And God, it is so interesting that through all the powerful kings that came through this family, God chose to finish out his plan, not through King David, not through Solomon, not through any of the powerful leaders that came from this family, but he came through a lowly virgin with not much means, not much acclaim. Nobody even knew who she was. Connected only to this family line through who? No, Jesus is her son. Who connects Mary to the family line of Abraham? Joseph did. Yeah. At this point in the song, what we're seeing is not only God's plan coming to finish, but God's promise that he takes care of us, that he loves us, that he's here to uphold us when we set our lives after him. That Mary has dedicated her life to God, and God didn't choose one of the kings with all the power and nobility and acclaim in her family line. He chose her, a lowly girl. A reminder for us when we sing this worship song that no matter how badly we think of ourselves, God wants to use us. No matter how badly you think people may look at you, God wants to use you, and you can trust that he has a plan for your life. You can trust his power moving in your life, and you can trust in his promises for your life. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. So now we're looking at one of the kings, but he doesn't even highlight one of the huge, amazing, like David's doing it and he's the king. This is still when he was a little boy, a shepherd. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. David replied to the Philistine, "You come with me. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." Can you imagine, like, little preteen David just hangs out with sheep all day? But he's saying to this giant dude who's been defying the armies of God, "I'm going to cut off your head." Okay. But he's not giving himself the credit. He's not saying, "because I'm a great warrior." He's saying, "me, this little kid, is about to cut off your head because this is a fight between you and God, and you're about to lose. You're about to find out. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Do you guys have giants in your life that you feel inadequate to slay? God's power is what you should be reminded of this in this moment. And you should proclaim God's power, because do you trust in God's power? Do you believe in God's power? Not just stories in the Bible. Our church has seen God's power move in incredible, miraculous ways. We've seen so many things. We've seen so many signs and healings in our church. We've seen people healed. We've seen broken bodies mended. We've also seen incredible moves for God, where we just do a little bit of work and a whole couple thousand people come just to see Easter eggs and they end up hearing about Jesus. We see God move in incredible and powerful ways in our church. Amen? So we know he moves in power in his word. We know we've seen him move today. When we sing this song, we should remind ourselves that he can move that way in our lives. We can trust in God's power. You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. We're about to go through a little process where we list things that God did, and then we say, you are the same God. You are the same God. We're thinking about what we know the Bible says God has done. We're thinking about what we know we've seen God do in lives around us or in our own life before, and reminding ourselves in a moment of need, you are still that God. New year, same God. New you? Oh boy. Well, if Jesus needs to change some things up, maybe. You're saying, I know what you did for people who were as stuck as I am, and I know that you can do it for me too. You answered prayers back then. You answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Because you answered their prayers, and you've answered my prayers before, I trust that you'll answer mine. You were providing then, and you're providing now. Because you met their needs, or you met my needs before, I trust that you will meet this need now. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. We've hit this concept already. We've seen examples of God's power in his word and in our lives. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves we can trust that power and that he's still moving. He's still the same God. You were a healer then. You were a healer now. A specific example of God's power. You were a savior then. You are a savior now. I trust that Jesus died and rose again to save me and them. Jesus' work didn't suddenly stop randomly between the time on the cross when he came back and rose from the dead and today. It never stopped happening. It is still the same. His salvation is for every single one of you. And we need to trust that. Amen? I love the next couple lines that he finishes out with. I've got three more for you. You freed the captives then. You're freeing hearts right now. Just as you freed people from captivity physically in your word or spiritually in your word, as well as I've seen you deliver people from things physically and mentally here in my own lifetime. Seen people delivered from porn addictions, from drug addictions, from abusive situations, from depression, from mental strongholds or things that this world has control over people with. We've seen God free captives. It doesn't have to be a big exodus like Israel experienced. Sometimes we need to be freed from captivity in our own minds. Maybe you're stuck worrying over something tonight. When we start doing work later, trust that God frees captivity even in your mind. Amen? I love this verse, which is going to seem weird at first. You touched the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. We already talked about healing, so I'm not going to bring another example of healing as for why this verse is so important. That's not why I call the dude JB, because I can never remember his name. He sings with Elevation for this song. That's not why JB is talking about the lepers. We've already had so many examples of healing. We've already worshiped God for healing. What this verse seems to imply to me is that not just healing, but bringing love to the untouchables, the guilty, the people who've given up on themselves that society has cast out and given up on. Jesus was never, in God's word, afraid to go up to them and to share love and to give love. Jesus didn't care about class. He didn't care about economic standing. He didn't care about clean or dirty. He didn't care about good or bad. He came for every single person. Have you guys ever experienced guilt in your life over something that makes you feel unclean? I have. You can never, ever, ever stop trusting God in his love, his plan for your life, to the point where you don't think that he wants to come into your life and free you of that guilt. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit, Almighty River, come and fill me again. So after we affirm all of these things that we know about God, we say, I know that the power comes from your Holy Spirit. Please fill me again. And that's how the song ends. It has a little more weight when you think about the context of all those things, doesn't it? You guys still with me? Denise is going to come up. We're going to finish up. Leaders, come on up to the front. Everybody stand up. Denise is going to get us started, and we're going to sing this song together. And before we go to small group tonight, we're just going to take a couple minutes here, guys. And we're going to sing this song together. And what I'd like you guys to do, yo, you guys with me right now? Go ahead, Denise. Oh, you're getting ready. What I'd like you guys to do right now, at the beginning of 2024, I don't care about New Year's resolutions. That might work for you. They never work for me. But what I do care about is making sure that we assert in our lives at benchmark moments that we go, I trust God. Before I got married, before I went up to the altar, I had to pray and say, God, this is a life that you've given me. This is a relationship that I want to make sure is under you. Before I proposed to my wife, I did the same thing. I said, God, is this something that you want for my life? I trust your plan. I trust your power. You got me here. Is this still your plan? Is this still your will? I trust your promises, but I know I can only walk in your promises if I'm submitting to your plan. Before I came here as a pastor, I said, God, I don't want to leave when I was at my other church. I just got things really rolling here. Things are going awesome. We're growing. We're thriving. I like where I am. It's comfy. It's moving. We have momentum. But it's your life that you gave me, God. What do I do? And then I had to spend a year and a half wondering. Because he said, get up and go. You're done here. I've got a new challenge for you. I spent a year and a half not knowing where it was. Pastors calling me saying, hey, we could hire you. And me going, that's not what God is telling me to do. So I ended up subbing at a high school, which was awesome. And I gained so much experience. And it was a season of waiting and growing until the point where God said, here it is. And I found harvest. I'm glad I'm here. Every single benchmark moment in my life, I have to reassert my trust in God's plan, in God's promises, and in God's power. Because I don't want to do this on my own, and I know that if I do, I will fail. But I know that God's word has proven, and the lives around me that are following after God have proven, and my own life has proven that when I trust in God's plan and power and promises, that I don't have to be afraid. So not because you need some New Year's resolution to get yourself back on track, but because you want to make sure at this benchmark moment, because it is a new year, that you are trusting and following after God. Two options here. Number one, maybe you've never chosen to trust God and make him your Lord and Savior. I want to let you know that you need to, because the alternative is hell. If you need help with that concept and you've been something has been revealed to your heart, come up here and talk to one of the leaders about it, and they'll pray you through that. Number two, if you've done that, tonight is your reset moment where you go, new year, same God. And you prepare yourself that no matter what happens this year, we could have another 2018 to 2020. Oof, that would be bad. That was COVID if you don't remember. Or we could have the best year in the past decade. We don't know what it's going to look like, but either way, are you going to trust God? Anybody? Are you going to trust God? Cool, cool, cool. So what I want you to do is think about the concepts we've laid out as we're singing this song. And if you need to come up here during this song and talk through, hey, I need help trusting that God has power over this. Or I need help trusting that I just don't feel like this situation is part of God's plan, but I know that if I trust him, that I will come out of it and I'll see his plan eventually. Or I need help trusting that God has promised me salvation, or God has promised me life abundantly as I walk in his will, or God has promised me
safety, healing, comfort, whatever it may be that you're struggling with, if you have an anxiety that you are struggling to have trust in God's promises, as those things come up in you, come and talk to one of these leaders and help, let them pray over you. Cool. It doesn't have to be, oh, my life is so broken and I don't trust God because you came up here. If you care about asserting that you are trusting God in 2024, I want to see you up here talking to a leader. Doesn't mean you were never saved. You could be coming up here for that. Doesn't mean you are. It doesn't mean you've never trusted God before. All it means is you're making sure, God, this life, this year, I trust you. Can you guys do that? If you're serious about it, get up here.
Thanks for listening to this Apex Students podcast. You can listen to more Apex teachings by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We pray that this message has impacted your life and that you don't walk away without looking a little bit more like Jesus.